Don't ask me why I'm going to ask you this question, but I have to ask it. How many of you in this auditorium, when you were in high school and your high school put on a dance, had a live band? Raise your hand if that. Okay, all of you younger folks out there, I just want you to know that when you were listening to this worship team this morning, and you just, I don't know what it was, I just had a flood of memories coming back. Bill Hefner, he was a couple years older than I was, but Bill Hefner had a band. And whenever there was a school dance, his band would come and play. And I mean, they were good for a high school group of kids. And even after he graduated, his band still came back for the next couple of years while I was in high school. But what brought that all about is I'm on Facebook with his brother, Jeff, who's same age as I am. And Jeff, do you guys ever watch NCIS? The older one, the oldest one. Jeff Hefner is involved in the production of that particular show, and you know, I haven't seen Jeff since high school, but we're on Facebook together, so every once in a while I say something. But anyway, thinking about worship, this morning we sang the new and we sang the old. And I don't know about you, but the older I get, I say, Lord, let me be open to the new. God, let me be open to the new. And when we talk about God's word, I'm always blessed in relation to what God is going to have to share, because he's going to have something new for all of us. Even if you've read this scripture many, many times, God has something new for you today. And I'm excited about that. I don't know what it is, but he has something new for you. Free at last. Now, as I was preparing for this particular message, I went on YouTube and I listened to Martin Luther King Jr.'s his speech in the mall in Washington, D.C., when he talks about the fact that there's coming a day when we will be free. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God we're free at last. And in this particular passage of Scripture, which I want to share with you, there lies a hope about being free at last. And it is my prayer, and has been my prayer, that this morning that you would grasp the fact that in this particular passage of Scripture, there lies hope. And that hope is the fact that you will come to the realization that you are free at last. So if you have your Bibles with you, or your phones, or whatever, open up with me. We're going to look at Romans chapter 5, and I want to read the passage that I'm going to be sharing with you this morning, but it's chapter 5. Will preached on verses 1 through 5 last Sunday, and man, phenomenal job, and I'm going to continue in reading from Romans 5, starting with verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given by Moses, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgressions of Adam, who was a type of one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift. Will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Now that's a big chunk of passage, but it all comes together. And it is my hope and my prayer that I can lead you through how that passage just all comes together. And so what I want you to do is we're going to look at the first few verses of that, verses 6 through 8. And I want to talk to you about the difference of a good person versus a bad person. And who is it that's truly worthy? Now, how many of you watched Pinocchio at some time? You remember the Disney movie Pinocchio? Now, parents, you notice all the younger or older ones are lifting their hands because that movie came out when I was a kid. And a lot of times, you don't watch it today because the movie's so old and the cartoon, you know. But you guys, here's the gist of Pinocchio. Geppetto, the one who makes Pinocchio, the puppet Pinocchio, always dreamed of having a son. And when designing and making Pinocchio, he fell asleep one night, and just before he fell asleep, he made a wish. He wished that he could have a son. And in the movie and in the book and however you want to look at it, this beautiful blue angel appears and grants him his wish. And the puppet Pinocchio, as you know, comes to life. And if you know anything about Pinocchio, you know he goes off doing his own thing, right? He's out there exploring the world, and he's getting into trouble. But the thing that we don't always grasp is Geppetto in that story. Geppetto, when he discovers that Pinocchio has gone and he doesn't know where he is, he doesn't just say, he's gone. Good luck. But rather, he goes out in search of Pinocchio. And you know the storyline most that we all get from Pinocchio is every time he tells a lie, what happens? His nose grows. But there is a message deep within that message, and that is Geppetto. No matter what Pinocchio does, Geppetto never, ever gives up searching for Pinocchio. A matter of fact, what happens to Geppetto? He eventually gets swallowed by a whale. But in the end, he finds Pinocchio, and he has never lost his love. And the wish is granted, and Pinocchio becomes a little boy. Now, if you haven't watched the movie in a long time, I encourage you to watch it. If you've never seen it, I encourage you to watch it. But you know, and I know, that throughout the Word of God, God never gives up on us. A matter of fact, you know, even Jesus himself gave us a wonderful story in the prodigal son, where a father has two sons. One wants his inheritance right now. He wants to do his own thing. He goes out. But the father never loses his love for his son. No matter even if the son has done things that he should never have done. And you know when the son finally returns, and off in the distance, the father sees his son coming. The father runs to him, embraces him, and accepts him just as he had before he left. So who is it that is really worthy? And you guys, ladies, gentlemen, kids, this is the most exciting thing about God. In this passage of Scripture, let's read it real close together, verses 6 or 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You guys, look, we're all human. If we're out, and this often happens, you hear it in the news many, many times, but a couple of friends out together, maybe swimming, and one goes under the water, the other quickly jumps in to try to save his or her friend. And many times, unfortunately, we hear in the news that both have lost their lives in this particular instance. But the question becomes to you and me, what is really worthy? Who is really worthy? Is it the good person or is it the person that is not good? Who would we be willing to die for? And through this passage of Scripture, we know that God doesn't look at you and I as being good or bad. He looks at us just like Geppetto looked at Pinocchio or the father looked at his son. We are the love of their lives. We are the love of God's life. And in that relationship, Christ died for you and for me. Now, as we go through this passage of Scripture, it's important that we start off understanding this because of the fact that it gives us great hope. And that is the message itself. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Your life, no matter what you do, where you've been, it doesn't matter. God loves you so much that he gave his only son to die to restore that relationship. Let's look at a second passage of Scripture of all that I read, and let's talk about restoration for a second, and that's verses 9 through 11. In 9 through 11, it says, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, and by the way, last Sunday, Pastor Will talked about being justified. And if you're still a little bit confused, let me just say this to you. What this means is that you are the person God wants. You're justified. If I'm looking to go out for a job and I know that I have an interview coming up, one of the things that goes through my mind or goes through your mind is am I the right person for the job? Am I justified to have this particular job? And if you feel in your heart of hearts that you're the person for the job, there's a great feeling of justification to go out and go for the job. So since therefore we, you and I, have been now justified by the blood of Christ, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. In other words, how can I say this to make sense? You and I, when Jesus Christ, when we come to a relationship and an understanding that Christ died for you and me, no matter what we've done in the past, we comprehend that Christ died for you and me, we are now saved from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, that bad person, We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more now that we have been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. The interesting part about Pinocchio is he was this puppet all the way, you know, the nose growing, but Geppetto never gave up on him. But it wasn't until Geppetto puts his arms around him towards the end of the movie, he puts his arms around him, he found his son, he's there. It doesn't matter if he's a wooden boy, he's alive, and to Geppetto, he's his son. And it doesn't matter what he's done in the prodigal son. It didn't matter what his son had done when he left. The father was just thankful for the fact that once his son was lost, now he has been found. And that is what Paul is trying to say for you and me, is even though your life was not what it should have been, even though you were the bad person, God never gave up on you and he never gave up on me in that he sent his son to die for us. There's nothing, and please understand what Paul's talking about here. Paul says there is nothing that you can do that can separate you from the love of God. Always remember that. Claim it. Claim it. And be reconciled unto God. And the next passage of scripture is found in verses 12 through 14. And we talk about sin, and we talk about death, and the question comes up, where is the hope? In verses 12 through 14, it says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man. Now, this can be a little bit confusing for people that look at this, but let's go through it. Therefore, since just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. You know the story. Adam and Eve are created. The Garden of Eden is yours, all except for the tree of evil, death. And what happens? Eve goes for the apple, and Adam blames it on Eve. They eat the apple, and sin comes into the world. And because of that, you and I all know that a result of sin was death. We don't know how many years Adam and Eve lived before they sinned. It doesn't explicitly say. Could have been thousands of years. But the point is, through one man's sin, you and I are all bound into that sin. We're bound up in it. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law. Who gave us the law? Do you remember? Moses did. So how many years between when Adam sinned and when Moses comes and gives us the law? I will tell you, a couple thousand years was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. So what does this mean? That sin is not counted where there is no law. Here's what is being said here. Paul is speaking to the early Roman church. The early Roman church is mainly made up of Jewish people who have quite a background in the Torah, the first four or five books in the Bible. And we know all about Moses. We know about Exodus. They're all encountering that. And Paul here is saying, look, it doesn't matter if there's a law or there isn't a law. We all suffer the same fate. And it's death. What did the law do? It just made it more complicated. And in many ways, it just made it sadder in the fact that the more laws there are out there, the more we realize we're not very good people. We make a lot of mistakes. So the intention of Moses in the giving of the law, and Boy, I could go off on this one. Let's just start with the Ten Commandments. If the Ten Commandments were given as the law and that was it, man, I feel like many of us would still have sinned, but the point being is many other laws came into it. And so many laws were introduced. If you read Leviticus especially, if you get into all of the law, you know that it becomes impossible to live a righteous life under the law. But the reality of it is, when Adam sinned, the results were the same. Whether you had the law or you had the sin of Adam, one thing remained, and that was death. Now, with that being said, let me share a passage with you that Paul spoke of that's very, very important. When Paul was asked the question, Paul, what about the people who have not heard about Jesus Christ, who have not heard about the righteousness of God? And the answer that Paul gives to you and me is profound. God judges the hearts of men. Even for those who have never heard of Jesus Christ in the world today, there is a hope. Because God judges the intention of the heart and not the outward. But for you and me, we have a profound introduction to Jesus Christ. And in the last passage that I want to share with you is verses 15 through 18. And here lies hope. Here we go. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, think about this for a second. Adam committed how many sins? One. That brought death. One sin. If many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. I'm going to wrap this all up, guys. God knew very early on that it was impossible for the love of all the people that we should be able to survive judgment under the law. So just as Adam introduced sin by that one act, so God, through his son Jesus Christ, through the one act of Jesus Christ, brings reconciliation, justification, and eternal life through that one act. What was the one act that Jesus did for you and me? He died on the cross. One act. One act of Adam introduces sin. One act of God through Jesus Christ gives you and I freedom from that sin. And you and I, what's really exciting about this is we no longer are under the law. Now, in last Sunday's message, Pastor Will talked about, you know, going through life and going through suffering and trials and tribulation. He talked about that. God knows that each and every one of us, you and me, Pastor Will's talked about his own life. He has talked very much about the fact that, hey, don't look at me because you will only be disappointed. And there's not a one of us in this room who can point to ourselves and say, look at my life. I'm the man or I'm the woman to follow. I got my act together. I can do all things. You guys, we are like the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter. We're like the Pinocchio. But our Father never, ever gives up. And once through the one act of Jesus Christ, once we understand that and we say, Lord, become the Lord of my life, and we ask for forgiveness of our sin, Jesus Christ, through his death, that sin is gone. How many of you have ever heard the illustration? If everything in this Bible contained my life history, all of the good things I did, and all of the bad things, and all the sin that I've ever done in my life, and Jesus Christ becomes the Lord of my life, what happens when I open this book of my life? It's blank. There's nothing in there. It's blank. You and I struggle with that concept. When somebody does something wrong to us, it's hard to forget. We can always say, hey, I forgive, you know, but it's hard to forget. God, on the other hand, has the ability to totally be gone with it, not remember it. Wherein lies our hope? Free at last. I don't know about you, but when I heard the message of Martin Luther King, free at last, thank God we are free at last, I think about the fact that, you know what? You and I have something very special that the world has not. And that is truly, if you comprehend and you understand the passage of Scripture that I shared with you that Paul wrote, every one of us whom Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives, free at last, thank God, I'm free at last. It's hard for us to comprehend it because we're always out there thinking, oh man, I'm not the man, I'm not the woman to look, you know, I would even hesitate to probably say to many of you in here, at nighttime, you go, oh, man, Lord, I blew it so bad. I'm never going to go to heaven, am I? Because I keep messing up. I'm not the good person. You know what? God, if Jesus Christ is reigning in your life, God loves you so much, there's coming a day he's going to see you off in the distance. And as you're walking, he's going to run up to you. He's going to put his arms around you. Say, oh man, my son, my daughter, who once was lost, has now been found. You guys, when you leave today, when you walk out of this service, my number one thing for each and every one of you is to walk out of here going, whoa, Pastor or Randy, you know, he shared. But it's not what he shared. It's the scripture. It's the word of God that speaks truth. And that truth is that if Jesus Christ is the Lord, you've invited him into your life. He's the Lord of your life. And you can do no disappointing thing to God, but that he won't seek you out always and always be there for you. As the worship team comes, let's you and I begin to think about the fact that we are free at last. Free at last, thank God. I am free at last. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and how you have blessed us. I know Paul was writing to the church in Rome, but he was giving them a message of hope. And that message of hope is that we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live downtrodden. We don't have to lower our head. Lord, as the message of the video that played, the thing that struck me so much is God wants those of us who feel so unworthy to be open to sharing your love with the world. If we have it all together and we think that we're the best, it's tough for God to use us. But when we come to the realization that our life has never been what it should have been, and yet Christ still died for us, God still saw us as being justified, we have been reconciled through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, if there's anybody here that has not experienced Jesus Christ, by simply saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins, Jesus, come into my life. Make me the person you want me to be. Take all of what I've done, and Father, I pour it out to you. Lord, I seek your face. And as each and every one walks out of this church today, let us go celebrating that Jesus has freed us, and we are free at last, free at last.